Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Weekly MTG. My co-host Steve was just reminding me that every episode is special.
Every episode is special,
but this one's like special.
Yeah, I'd say it's double special.
Double special because we have two guests on this week. We didn't even rehearse that.
that's a neat trick.
And they are the players who've had the best year this past year on the Pro Tour.
Yeah.
Our Player of the Year candidates coming to you with a Player of the Year playoff next year. We have Seth Manfield and Luis Salvato standing by live on satellite.
Yeah, live by satellite, as we do on the show occasionally.
Yeah, so we're just going to spend the whole show talking to them, talking about the upcoming year Player of the Year playoff. So that is happening a week from today, next Thursday. It starts at noon local time in Atlanta. That's Eastern Standard Time.
Yep.
And they're going to be playing up to seven matches.
Right, it's a best of seven match in a special standard format that we've created for this playoff.
What is that special standard format?
Well, Blake, from what I understand about this special standard format, both players will be bringing four standard decks that may overlap by no more than eight cards other than lands.
Yep.
And it will be one player will be playing a deck until they lose with that deck, and they'll have to switch decks.
Yep.
So it'll be whoever gets to four wins first. Yep. Maximum of seven games played should be pretty interesting.
There will be a free mulligan in there, but yeah, it's going to be a little weird, a little bit wacky. And we've got both players who are going to be playing in that event. This is only the second Player of the Year playoff
in the history of Magic.
So let's bring on Seth and Luis. Welcome, Seth and Luis.
Hi, welcome.
Yeah, how are you guys doing today?
Fine.
Yeah. Feeling good.
It's weird who talks first, but we are fine, I guess.
Everyone can talk all the time.
Okay.
But let's start with Seth. So, Player of the Year playoff coming up. Seth, you've won a world championship, you won a Pro Tour, you've won several Grand Prix.
It's quite a resume.
Well, it was quite the resume. He got voted into the Hall of Fame this year. So where on that list of accomplishments would a Player of the Year title rank for you?
Well, if I win, it matters way more to me than if I lose. No,
I'm just... Oh, good. Trash talking has started already.
It's right up there. You could say it's something that is missing on my resume, right? The one title, it's very tough. I've been there before. There was a year where I was in a position to be Player of the Year. I was feeling actually pretty confident about it. And then Owen Turdenwald, the one person that could catch me, caught me. So, you know, I know that these races can have crazy conclusions to them. Mm-hmm. This is going to be one of them. It's exciting. I'm happy to be playing against Luis, great guy, and it's a special format too. So I don't really know what to fully expect until we're actually sitting there in the feature match area the Thursday before the Pro Tour, getting ready to shuffle up and play. But as far as accomplishments, I don't like to measure things because I don't know what the feeling will be like until I actually win. I know it's something that I really want. Is it more important than this or that? That's a really tough question. I can't really answer that.
Now, since you brought it up, like you said, you finished second to Owen Turtenwald a couple years ago, and he had to have quite the amazing run in the last Pro Tour of the season to get there. Does this feel similar? What's different this time around?
This was also a really weird, conclusion, tying someone with one event left where I clearly thought I was the favorite, but Luis playing this deck that he knows really well in Modern, going to the Grand Prix, I foolishly skipped it because it was in a different country and it would have been kind of a pain to go to, but, there was a lot of different moments along the way where I was competing, Reed Duke was also in the mix as well, and it's kind of fun to know that other people care about this title as much as you do. So it makes, if you are able to win, kind of that much more special. And I thought at the start of the season, when I won the Pro Tour, I was in a great position because I started off with 30 Pro points or whatever it is to win a Pro Tour. And that's just, you need a ton of Pro points from a Pro Tour in order to kind of have a shot at this type of thing. and then kind of had a lull until right up until the end where I kind of surged on towards the end of last season. So yeah, definitely a mix of emotions. Not something I really had in the forefront of my mind though until kind of the last month or two when I realized that it was going to be really close at the end.
Mm-hmm. I mean, let's talk, speaking of winning a Pro Tour, Luis, you also won a Pro Tour. You won a Pro Tour with a deck that you know very, very well. A little deck called Blue-White Lantern Control. And I want you to know that Blake wrote this next question because I think that's awesome. Blake's question is, why do you hate fun? Why do you hate fun playing Blue-White Lantern Control?
I don't hate fun.
I told you.
Yeah, I love the deck.
I love to have fun. But the thing is, playing Lantern is really fun. But not playing against Lantern sometimes.
Yep.
But playing Lantern is really, really, really fun. And it's really skill intensive, the deck. So you have a bunch of enemies because you have the open hand, the library, the time. The clock is a real enemy. So it's really enjoyable deck. Mm-hmm. To play it.
But you've switched to Blue-White Control. That was actually how you caught up in the Player of the Year race.
Yeah, because after Ironworks success in the hand of Madness and other people, mm-hmm. the people started to have a lot of hate against artifacts, and Lantern couldn't support that. So, and Blue-White also with Jace and Teferi become stronger, and mm-hmm. I like that kind of strategies. And I had a lot of success with the deck in the Grand Prix and also in the Pro Tour anniversary.
So what was it like? We heard from Seth, hearing from his perspective, what it was like coming down to the wire for this Player of the Year race. What was it like for you, knowing that once you got to that level in the tournament that you were going to be able to tie for Player of the Year?
Well, the things were super crazy for me because at one point after the Pro Tour 25, I expect 2 months in my home, to relaxing and preparing for Worlds. But then I realized that the Player of the Year race, it wasn't over at that point. And I had like several chances to get more points because I didn't play too many GPs in the whole year. So I took the decision of make a huge travel around the world to catch up. And it was like, at the beginning, it was super stressful because I planified a 50 days travel 2 days before the travel. So a lot of airports, Airbnbs, hotels, partners, also cars to find. So the first weeks of the travel, I wasn't too relaxed. Just imagine, I made the whole trip was Orlando, Los Angeles, Prague, mm-hmm. then Richmond, Detroit, Stockholm, and then Las Vegas.
Wow,
Each weekend in a different place. So it was like super stressful. The people in home says, oh, you are traveling a lot. Well, it's nice being... No, it wasn't nice this time because too many travels. But at the end, it worth it. So it was insane. Also in the last tournament, it was really good.
Mm-hmm. Now, Seth, you chose not to travel to Stockholm that weekend. Did you watch the tournament at home?
You know, I did. I did watch it, of course. This happened to be the weekend before the World Championships, where I was going to Vegas in like a day or two. So it was one of those things where I was ahead in the race. So I knew that mathematically, how likely was it for Luis to pull off in the top eight? I don't know. Like for me, I would have needed, in order to get points, mm-hmm. I would have needed to top eight. And
right.
I felt like, you know, my advantage playing Modern wasn't, I don't know that I was as confident as maybe Luis was in that situation. And I just rolled the dice, maybe somewhat foolishly, but I was sitting there watching, and I was just like, "Oh my gosh, this is actually happening." and I didn't even realize what the official policy was for if we tied. Like, how does that even work? Mm-hmm. Like, what's the playoff? And I know that everyone was wondering the same thing. Like, is it a playoff or is there some other method? And then I was just like watching his top eight match on the Twitch stream, and yeah, I mean, it ended up, it kind of, I think a lot of people from what I saw on social media, whether they were friends, like whether they supported Luis or I, they wanted this playoff.
Yeah.
Like the playoff is just a win for everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
I believe that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like the universe conspired to this, because a lot of people wish me, okay, I really want to you be become player of the year, but after the playoff. So so it was, and I think it's really good for everyone, mm-hmm. and it's really fair because he made an insane season, me too. So it's a really good way to determine who is the player of the year. And I also expect that there's some kind of, I don't know if it's a trophy or what, but I expect both of us, either the winner and the loser, get something because this is huge. So mm-hmm. I have a lot of hype about this, so it's really good.
Well, speaking of hype, you know, you reached the quarterfinals of GP Stockholm to get to this point, to get to the playoff right here, but Seth, as I'm sure you were very aware when you were watching this, a semifinals appearance would have actually just given you the Player of the Year title outright, Luis. How did you feel after that event? What was going through your mind?
Well, a part of me feels like it was a tough match in the quarterfinal, but inside me, I feel like this is the way that it must be, because I don't know how to explain, but it was a bit unfair that I won that match and becomes Player of the Year. I think the best way is in a playoff. So it was like sad in a part, but really happy about making the top eight, because I went to Stockholm to reach the top eight and I did it. So I felt really, really happy about that. Well, here we are.
Well, and so on that note, I have a question for both of you. And Seth, you can start. What does it feel like to be part of Magic history as only the second playoff ever?
Well, it will feel better if I win the playoff, but I don't think people are gonna, like, people don't remember Guillaume Matignon in the same way that they remember Brad Nelson from the playoff, yeah. You know, the last playoff, right? So, you know, that being said, it's really cool. Like, the chances of this happening are very small, obviously, being it's the only second time that it's happened. And the fact that this has kind of felt like a drawn out thing where it's kind of spilled into the next season, it's kind of given us this thing to work towards and work towards and work towards. It's kind of made me prepare more rigorously for some of these events that I've been playing, when maybe I would have, as Luis said, maybe take some time off or done this or that. There's always something to work toward, and for the past however long, it's been the Player of the Year for me.
Okay. Luis, how about you?
Well, I think the title of Player of the Year is like, besides Hall of Fame, I define the title like one of the three biggest accomplishments, being one, winning a Pro Tour, winning a World Championship, and being Player of the Year. So I love to be that. Mm-hmm. And I also said to Seth one time that you cannot have like three things in 1 year. He has the Pro Tour, the Hall of Fame, and it's like impossible to be Player of the Year also. But he can be Player of the Year next year. So
this is like the nicest trash talk.
This is really nice trash talk. Like,
it's like, no, it would mean a lot for me to win. Nobody remembers Guillaume.
No, but the thing is, I will be like super happy even if I lose, mm-hmm. because I'm kind of a newcomer in the pro scene, because
sure.
like 3 years ago I was hoping, like praying to qualify to the Pro Tour again. Mm-hmm. Now I'm here, so it's really huge. Even if I lose, I think I'm feeling really happy. And of course, Seth also deserves the title because he's one of the best players and he proved that he's a master playing this game. So there's no bad results. Mm-hmm. Of course, it will be better to win, but if I lose, it will be really good also. So I'm happy with both scenarios.
Cool.
I will say that I will have more supporters there cheering for me, so I'm hoping that works in my favor. I'm gonna have my whole family there.
Yeah.
That is rude.
You know, so I'm trying to pull out all the strings I possibly can.
Every bit of good karma.
Every bit of it. So
neutral territory, like playing Latin America, like in... like in Mexico or even in Europe, but United States is a bit better for you.
Little bit of home field advantage there.
Well, hey, we've talked a little bit about, you know, your feelings on getting here, but we're almost there, and we've got this special format that we described at the top of the stream. It's that no sideboard best of seven, four different standard decks. So what do you guys think of the format? Let's start with Seth.
Well, I'm still trying to wrap my head around it. I've been testing for the Pro Tour, and so I've been figuring out the standard format and just played the Grand Prix this past weekend, had a decent result there. But this is a little bit different. As you mentioned, there's no sideboards. There's free mulligans, and it's four decks, not just one. So I'm hoping I am relying somewhat on my testing team to help me out with this one. And because I can't test four different decks extensively and prepare for the Pro Tour. Like playing just game ones, I have to prepare for two different tournaments effectively for this next weekend. So I'm trying not to stress out too much about it because I've never done this before. I don't think that there's ever been a tournament quite like this one in the history of Magic, really. So I'm just going to some of it is going to be kind of spur of the moment decisions at this event itself, which is kind of exciting to me. Like, some of it's going to be preparation, and some of it I know I'm going to have to adapt on the fly for.
Luis, what about you? What do you think of the format?
Well, I really like the format because there's a few things that I like. That one of them is, like, this standard looks really healthy right now. So picking four decks, there's no, like, an easy choice. So, and we will need to play good games of Magic, playing probably all the colors between the decks. So I think no matter the deck choice was, it will be a fair playoff, you know? If they decide to make a different format, could be like better if you have, like, for example, the sets team is a bit better to analyze meta games and deck builds. I think this format is really good because we will play good games of Magic no matter what. And also, if there's one deck boosted, you can only win one time with the deck. So I think I really like the format, but also I agree with Seth that it's a different tournament. Also, you cannot even test in Magic Online. You have not free mulligans and that stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's rough to test this for this match and for the Pro Tour. But I think it will be fine, and also I agree with Seth that in the moment we will need to adapt to the decks, to the choices. It will be fun, I guess.
Now you both kind of touched on it. How has this event changed your testing regimen? How has it changed your approach? Let's start with Luis.
Well, I received a good offer from Sebastian Pozzo yesterday. He told me that, okay, I will test against you the format, and if you win, I will give you $5. But if I win, you give me $10. So I have a good contender to mm-hmm. the test. But, you know, also I'm playing a bunch of different decks in Magic Online and trying to think about the configuration. I think it changed you the way to think about the format. But, you know, the games of Magic are the same. So mm-hmm. you need to know how to play the decks and how to expect the opponent deck. So okay. I think it's different, but it's not too much different. Of course, it has deck building choices, but it will be okay, I guess.
Okay. Seth, what about you? Are you doing anything special to prepare for this event?
So for me, this particular tournament and event is more about, it's more about theory crafting, kind of like expectations, thinking about what Luis is going to do, thinking about, you know, the decks, how they might change, how they might shift due to the format, and talking with my team rather than just sitting and playing a bunch of game ones with different decks. It's like a lot of my preparation has just been analyzing it analyzing the format, and that's because my time is valuable, mm-hmm. and yeah. I'm looking forward to playing games with my testing team once I get to Atlanta. But I also think that, as Luis pointed out, it's four different decks, so the most likely configuration is we're playing different decks of different colors, and we can kind of make guesses. Okay, there's one best red deck, or there's one green black deck that's really good, or there's one red blue deck that's really good, or so on and so forth. We can look at the metagames and kind of make educated guesses based on that as well. So that's kind of where I'm coming at it from.
Okay. You know, this is personally, I think this matchup is going to be one of the highlights of 2018 for Magic. I think it's so exciting that you two are playing. This playoff for Player of the Year, like we've said, it's happened once prior to this in the history of Magic. Let's talk about the past season. What was your favorite moment from this past season that got you here? Let's start with Seth.
So is this besides winning the Pro Tour, or can we?
I think we can all assume that winning a Pro Tour is...
Winning a Pro Tour, yeah. Sure. What yeah. After winning a Pro Tour?
Yeah, because, I mean, winning the Pro Tour, it almost feels like two seasons ago for me right now, because mm-hmm. it was really over a year ago.
Yeah.
But I think that, for me, getting elected, just knowing that I was elected into the Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. I have not... It's kind of fully going to conclude once I'm... The induction ceremony happens in Atlanta, but that's been something that I've been working towards this whole year, and this year the voting happened, and a lot of my peers had great things to say about me, and it kind of boosts up your confidence. It makes you think about your career in a different way, and it's a really special, you know, accomplishment. And so that is, as Luis was saying, it's one of those accomplishments that it only happens once in a lifetime. You can only do that one time. Mm-hmm. And so it's on par with kind of the Player of the Years, the World Championships, the Pro Tour wins. And it's something that you cannot just achieve with one tournament. There's also longevity to it. And so it's been something that's really been on the forefront of my mind. I'm thinking about, what am I going to say at the Hall of Fame? What am I going to wear? Who am I going to bring? You know, all of this really fun stuff. And a lot of my friends are going to be there as well. So that's something I'm looking forward to and I'm happy about.
Yeah. Have you started working on your speech yet?
That is something I've thought about. I haven't actually written anything down yet, mm-hmm. but I'm kind of working towards it. Yeah.
Luis, what about you? Favorite moment from this past season, other than, of course, winning a Pro Tour?
Well, of course. I think it was when I reached the Player of the Year first place, because when I won the Winning in Stockholm, like, I felt, okay, I'm in the first place. So even if it's tied, it means that nobody besides us won that many pro points. So of course it's similar to what Seth said. Of course it was about the Hall of Fame, but in an entire season you need to do the things really well to reach the first place. So I realized that I was in there, and it was like an unique moment, because a few years ago, if someone talked to me about this, I couldn't believe that. So it's insane for me. And as I said, I it's been like only less than 3 years that I'm playing Pro Tours, so that moment was great. That's why also I didn't care about losing the quarterfinal, because I went to find that and I got it, so it was like the best moment, I think, after winning the Pro Tour.
Nice. Now, without giving away your secrets, we don't need to know your tech or what decks you're on or anything, but what do you think about Standard right now? Seth, we'll start with you.
I mean, I think we touched on the fact that it is a pretty diverse meta game. There's a lot of different decks, and there's no clear cut, oh, this is the best deck. Mm-hmm. So from that perspective, I think it's really going to be a fun tournament, both the Pro Tour and our battle before the Pro Tour. We're going to be showcasing a bunch of different decks at a very similar power level, and that's not something that I've been able to say very recently, and it's something that's hard to do. Power levels of cards can shift dramatically. And so to be able to say going into the Pro Tour with honesty that I don't know what I'm playing at the Pro Tour, because I know that there are these decks that are a very similar power level, and I think that at that point it becomes more about metagaming, what are other people going to play, and then specific card choices. Like, you know this deck is good, but maybe you are able to make a couple changes, and it's small percentage points, which means that it's a pretty good spot to be in. Maybe there's a broken deck out there and I'll be eating my words, but it seems doubtful.
All right, Luis?
Yeah, I think pretty much the same, because it looks like the metagame is really open right now. Of course, in the Pro Tour, we will figure out if it's a deck like better than the others. But at this time, you can play any kind of strategies. You have like monocolor decks doing well in pretty much each color. Well, not mono black, I guess, but the rest you can play monocolor. And a few days ago, we had the five colors control deck with Leech Mastery. And today, I ran a league with that, to be honest.
How did that go?
2-3. But I made a lot of mistakes. I didn't even know.
You are not Ali Andrazi, sir.
I just built the deck and played the league, but I had a ton of fun because the deck is really good and I won some sweet games. So I think it's a really healthy format. And as Seth said, it will be our battle. It will be a fair battle, I guess. So I'm happy with that. Also because I'm more confident about my play than in my deck choices or deck building. Mm-hmm. So I really like, and for the Pro Tour, we can expect any kind of deck to be the best one. And I will bet that we will have a really different top eight. So we will not have like four or five in the same deck. Mm-hmm. So, well, of course, there can be surprises, but I bet that. So I really like how is this format right now. So I like it.
Okay. All right. So after the Player of the Year playoff, both of you will actually be heading to GP Liverpool.
Yes.
And we heard a little bit before the show, you're actually going to be playing on the same team at that event.
Yes. We want to prove to the people that even if we fight for the best title, we can be friends also, and we will play together also with another friend from Peru, the captain, Francisco Cifuentes. And I think it's a really good thing to do, and I'm really happy about sharing a team with Seth.
Yeah, being from the U.S., I have not had the privilege of being the captain of the World Magic Cup yet throughout my career, because it's so hard to do, and it almost means you have to win the Player of the Year to do it. So I'm excited for that, and then Liverpool kind of works well with my travel to play in that also, and I realized that kind of in a spot where Luis already had, he was looking for a third, and I was looking for one, for a team, and there's no better, like, it's Team Unified Modern, so there's no player that I'd rather have, honestly, based on results than Luis. Like, he won a Pro Tour in Modern, he tied me for the Player of the Year in Modern, so yeah, I'm feeling good about my chances in that particular tournament.
I'll tell you one thing, that's going to be one stacked team at GP Liverpool.
It's
so.
All right.
And also I played with Francisco and another friend from Argentina, Pedro de Diego, in Grand Prix Madrid, and it was also Trios Modern, mm-hmm, that we end up losing the finals.
Oh.
So yeah, we have a lot of like success in Modern Trios also. And also it was thanks to Carlos Romao and to Wizards, because they hired Carlos for the Comic-Con, and that opened the slot in our team. So Seth is a good replace for Carlos.
So, like you said, it was just meant to be.
Yep, absolutely.
Just the way things were supposed to be. Well, thank you two for joining us today. Good luck first in GP Atlanta, and then good luck the following week with the Player of the Year playoff and at the Pro Tour.
And people can tune in and watch that on twitch.tv/magic, so yep. Definitely tune in for that. It's going to be a pretty cool playoff, not something that you see every day.
Yep, so GP Atlanta starts this weekend. The Player of the Year playoff, again, starts Thursday the 8th at noon local time, which is Eastern Standard Time in Atlanta, on twitch.tv/magic.
Yeah, Exactly.
Same channel you're watching this show.
Right now.
Yeah, yep. Right now.
Thank you very much.
Thank you both
guys
so
for
much.
Joining
Good
us.
Luck.
Good luck. Yeah. And thanks everyone at home for watching.
Thank you.
We'll see you next week.